You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Thursday. We are back. Doing it late because I am being so lazy today because of the weather. Thursday and Friday are as close to a day off as I get during the season, but I don't get them off either. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire Through USA Today Sports Media Group. It is the mailbag. So, the Michigan mailbag. Favorite show every week, so let's get right to it. Starting with our leaders and best, James Crudup at James Crudup 6. Ohio State is just going to be mediocre all season and then tune super. I tried to look up this word to see if it was a word and I couldn't figure it out. Super whatever against Michigan like a couple years ago, right? I mean, probably. That said, again, remember the reasons why I said things didn't go well in 2018 and 2019. Those reasons have more to do with what Michigan was doing and as little to do with what Ohio State was doing based off the intel that I got, right? The play calling, all the stuff that made Michigan very, very obvious in what it was trying to do. So that said, I still think it's going to be better, right? You've got fresh eyes on the situation. You got Mike McDonald. And I think the big question is, how much will Michigan's passing game improve? Because if Michigan can keep them off balance, now it won't matter if Michigan can just run all over them, right? But you still want to see Michigan keep them off balance. But I also think it's kind of almost a bad thing in a way that they're not going to be playing C.J. Stroud this week. That he's only coming in an emergency because it's kind of like, what if you find something in one of the other guys? Which happens sometimes. Think about Michigan State and was it 2013? It was 2013. It was 2013 where Andrew Maxwell started the season and it was still like, oh, terrible. And then Connor Cook came in Connor Cook came in and suddenly it's like, oh, they might have something. That would be my other concern. Not that C.J. Stroud's their problem, but that suddenly Kyle McCord comes in and it's like, oh, whoa, look at this dude. This dude is better than Justin Fields and Dwayne Haskins combined. He's throwing for 5,000 yards in nine games or eight games or whatever like that, and he's also able to run for 200. You know, that would be the issue. Josh Barajatiki, after watching the first three games, could you revisit any of your preseason expectations for wins, losses, or statistical achievements? Would you change them with your current information? I think now I would, because I was already on the border of 9-3. I didn't give, I don't think. I mean, I know you guys asked. I would have to go back and listen. I didn't put on paper like any bold predictions as far as what the passing or rushing was going to be. Obviously, the run attack is much better than I anticipated. If you would have told me 6 months ago, or heck, a year ago, that Michigan now would be leading the country in running, I don't think I would have believed that per se. So there is that to it. Otherwise, like I only really predicted the season, I'd say 9-3 now. It'll change again. Like I'm trying to hold steadfast, right? Not make, you know, quick changes as far as like, you know what? Like I better figure out where the college football playoff is because that's where I'm going to be booking my plane ticket. You know, I'm not making those snap judgments. If they go to Wisconsin and they beat Wisconsin, especially if Wisconsin beats Notre Dame, that changes things dramatically. Then I'm probably... And it also depends on, I mean, Ohio State's not going to look any different this week, but once Ohio State gets into the meat of its schedule, say Michigan State struggles against Nebraska this week, then suddenly we're starting to talk about, you know, the chance of it being a particularly special season. Penn State's going to be daunting regardless, but let's get to Penn State later. I know I got that question later. Also, what is the reasoning for the rules on capping replay of press conferences at 5 minutes. Seems like there's no logic there and only serves to annoy fans and content creators. Dumb policy. No comment, but I think you understand how I feel. Also, is it better for you if we listen to the podcast or watch the stream? It's entirely up to you. Entirely up to you. Obviously, everything's kind of cemented when it comes to the audio. I'd love for more people to watch the podcast, just because I would love to get more people doing it, especially just for the sake of it takes a lot longer to process video, and for me to obviously add elements like the motion graphics and any of that. Granted, some of it it's done, it's created, right? I can just throw it in, but it still takes longer to both export it, render it if you're into video, and upload it. It takes a good hour and a half to do all that, especially since I'm not using Open Broadcast OBS because my computer can't handle it with this camera. Looking at getting a new computer probably relatively soon. My 2016 MacBook Pro is trudging along pretty well, but I don't think it was made for 4K. And that's not that I'm not even uploading this in 4K, but just for the sake of it not taking 3 hours, which is probably what it would take. Anyway, my brother in metal, Michael Wolf at MWolf21. I know you've mentioned this a little already, but how much of the offensive playbook do you think Michigan has saved for the Big Ten schedule? I think a lot. If I were to put a number on it, and honestly, I don't know even, like, I think that what they'll probably do is continue running what they've run so far for the most part against Rutgers and see how well that works. And they'll probably keep doing that until they feel the need to dig a little bit deeper into it. I would say there's a good 80% probably that's, if not more, that isn't really being shown. That would be my guess. I don't think that they've come anywhere close to emptying the bag, you know? What does scoring 2 touchdowns and breaking a big run do for Donovan Edwards' confidence moving forward? Well, tells him, hey, you can play college football, man. You know, breaking the big run in particular, one thing to get a short yardage one, but I think you break that big run, and I think it's like, hey, young man, guess what? You belong. You know, I think any doubts that you have go away. I think that's also why you saw, I mean, Travion Henderson, he was really good in week 1 for Ohio State, but I think that is why you saw him really kind of break out in week 3, right? Why all of a sudden it's like if the game starts slowing down and you start having that, like, you know what? I can do this. I can do this against other teams. Big Ten schedule is going to be an animal for all parties involved, though. That's just the nature of it. Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1. What does Michigan have to do besides win our Big Ten opener to be a success? Continue to dominate. Continue to do the things that you're already doing well again against a Big Ten opponent. So offensive and defensive line dominance. I saw posted somewhere, I think it was just Twitter. Maybe it was on, it was on MGO blog. And someone had posted the weights of the offensive linemen for Rutgers. So I think it's trench on both sides. Get home on one side and dominate in the other side and just make it look like a Michigan-Rutgers game is long looked, because it doesn't have to be endemic to Rutgers that Michigan dominates. 2016, Penn State wins the Big Ten Conference but loses to Michigan 49-10. Michigan was just a more dominant team. If I'm Michigan, go out there and embarrass Rutgers if you can. Continue to show that killer instinct, because that's what they're showing. That's why some people were impressed by NIU. It wasn't just that they beat NIU handily, right? If they would have won 38-10 or something like that, people would be like, oh, yeah, Michigan's doing it. Okay, cool. But winning 63-10 with, you know, 28 points coming from your backups and then not scoring in the fourth quarter because your backups are in. I mean, that tells you Michigan could have hung 100 on them if they really wanted to. You know, probably more, but they, that just wasn't obviously what was happening there. Number 2, over under touchdown passes Saturday, 2.5. I'm going to go under because Rutgers has the worst rush defense. I'm going to say, I'll say they'll still pass for two. I'm predicting what? I think 35 to 13 or something like that. I don't remember. I predicted it in two places. But I got to look that up before tomorrow's show. Nonetheless, I think that it will be, so that's seven touchdowns. So I'm saying five on the ground, two through the air. I'm probably wrong. KRT at Farmark 84. Who deserves the most credit for Michigan's improved running game? Mike Hart, Matt Weiss, Sherrill Moore, or Josh Gattis? I don't know who deserves it, to be honest. I have no idea, but I think it's because it starts with the... Because, I mean, there's so many things involved. I don't think Weiss is necessarily... He's said that he isn't that involved in the run game. I mean, I'm sure he's involved, but he says that he's not that involved. I don't know anything otherwise. Mike Hart's obviously doing a lot with the backs and teaching them what to do. I'm going to give the credit... you got to give credit to Gattis for calling it consistently. I'm going to give the credit to Sherrill Moore because the reason that they are really able to do a lot of what they're able to do is because of the offensive line opening just awesome, massive holes for them. And then continuing, and also the tight ends, right? The tight ends going down blocking. So they'll throw Jay Harbaugh into the mix. So it's more of a Sherrill Moore and Jay Harbaugh mixture, in my opinion. Not finishing. Just at the bottom of finishing the page. Brandon at Brandon S616. Do you think they burn JJ's red shirt this year? Not a chance. Barring some... I'm not going to say not a chance. Okay. If something happens to Cade McNamara, then yes. Probably. Otherwise, I do not think so. I think you'll see him in two more games, and that is it. I'm not a big Star Wars guy. Obviously, I am. I've tried multiple times and want to get into it, but I can't. That said, I do like anime. Do you plan on watching Star Wars Vision? Seems like a good mix. I watched the first two episodes last night. I'm trying to slow jam it so I'm not just out of it, you know? I've enjoyed it immensely so far. Here's the thing. I hated it, Star Wars, for the longest time. Granted, I had seen all of them. I hated it. I hated it until I saw The Last Jedi in theaters, and that changed everything for me. And I know for a lot of you out there, that's probably sacrilege. And that's why, Last Jedi is my favorite, because it's the one that started to flip the switch from me being like, I don't like Star Wars. Like, I went and saw Force Awakens in theaters, and I thought it was okay, right? I was like, oh, I liked it, whatever. But that's just more because I like to see spectacles. I'll go see any big time, you know, sci-fi or action movie in theaters, being someone who has a film degree, that's the type of thing I'll do. Last Jedi, I thought, was like a perfect movie. And I understand why people don't like it. I just think they're wrong. And then, I saw that twice in theaters, and then I saw Rise of Skywalker three times. I didn't like that nearly as much as the other two, but still, and then when I went to Galaxy's Edge, that completely flipped the switch completely for me, and that's what started my obsession, because that's what got me reading the books and being a huge dork, and that's why I have Lightsaber 1, Lightsaber 2, there's two more upstairs, and a bunch of Star Wars books. Because I went from being a guy that rode motorcycle to press conferences to being the biggest nerd wearing a Baby Yoda hoodie on a podcast. All right, finishing us out in segment one. Jonathan Joseph at JJoseph2156. Which player, sophomore or younger, are you most excited to see where they are at by season's end? The answer is still the same as it was preseason. That's Donovan Edwards. And we saw a glimpse of it. And especially as much as it's a little bit different because Blake Corum, I said preseason, he's going to end up being really good, especially by virtue of me not talking about him. And so far he's been the best. And best in the country, essentially. There's others that are in that conversation, of course, but nonetheless, Donovan Edwards is still my answer because I really want to. I still think that he has got so much talent. He's got so much that he can do. I just think that if you have a three-headed monster and you can manage it, which so far Mike Hart is doing a good job of, then it's like, oh, you figured out that one guy out. All right, here's another guy. Oh, you figured that guy out. Well, here's another guy. Well, we're going to switch it back up. They all do different things, so that's the good thing. All right, let's move on. We are already way over time, geez. RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique. It's also remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle. Choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and for do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, let's continue. Zuri wants to continue. She is restless right now. She is ready. Let's get with our Victor's Valiant. Starting with Jim at Jim in the North. I'm a big fan of power running. Do you agree with the analysis that a power run game can take advantage of lighter spread defenses? Seems to me our Ohio State issues had more to do with offense than defense. Michigan's or Ohio State's offense? No. Okay, I see what you're saying. No, Ohio State issues certainly were way more Michigan's defense versus Ohio State's offense than vice versa. And Michigan's offense wasn't built to play catch up. So that's really that. But I do think that a power run game can take advantage of spread. I think it's like what Seth Galina said. The spread is dead. I think you have to find other things about it that are not being done. And I think we're kind of in a similar situation to what Jim Harbaugh, like when he came, it was hard to defend Michigan because teams are now really very used to defending spread offenses. Michigan's obviously running like a power spread. You know, they're not just like a typical old school pro style, but it's like an NFL power spread. And obviously there's a reason why they started incorporating more pulls and power run game stuff last year, but you're really seeing it a lot more, I feel, this year. At least they're able to execute it a lot better. Because remember, Ed Warner was a zone guy. And last year they started incorporating some power elements, and now it's really a part of it. Do I think that it can? I think anything can if you execute it right. But I think it can help, especially it's this type of play is not something that you see very often. So I think that's part of it. Let's see. You've got another question I put down here accidentally. Will you watch the new Boba Fett series? I mean, yeah. I'll watch anything Star Wars they put out. And I'll play anything Star Wars video game wise that they put out. Although I'm anxiously awaiting. I'm playing Deathloop right now. I haven't been playing video games at all really in about the last calendar year. I think I've played like 2 to completion since. I played a little bit online around Christmas time. I was playing Star Wars Battlefront 2 online for a bit around Christmas. That kind of stopped. I can't remember what other game, and then I played Ratchet and Clank just because I wanted to play something that was made for the PS5. Some other games, I haven't finished anything. I know I'm digressing completely, but that's what I've been doing the last like couple hours is playing Deathloop because my friend Jason Kelly is the star, and I didn't know that until it came out. So. Adam Kasel at Adam_Kasel. Which players in each phase of the game have exceeded your expectations thus far? Andrew Vastardis easily on offense. Blake Corum too. So, those are the two. I don't think anyone, I think people thought, hey, Blake Corum can be pretty good. I don't think they thought like he was just going to be this monster. But Andrew Vastardis, I was with a lot of you. I was thinking like, well, I think his job is maybe in jeopardy. Maybe you put Zinter in there and maybe you've got, you slide Stuber over and all of that. No need. He's been your best offensive lineman so far. So my dog is staring at something and I have no idea what it is. Anyway, defensively, is it weird to say Aiden Hutchinson? Like, I knew he was really good, but, like, he's, like I said on yesterday's show, he's starting to have, like, some Bosa in him, right? Like, unbelievable. Let me think who else would be. I mean, Vincent Gray would be the other one, I think, on defense. And then on special teams, Kaiden Kolasar. I think it's hard to not have him as your guy. He's been very good in anything they've asked him to do. Obviously not as explosive when he was returning, but very good at everything they've had him do. Jacob Heminger at Heminger Jacob. Why do you think the perception of McNamara is not great sometimes? If you break down what he has done in six games, basically, keeping in mind he's only played 100% of one game so far in his career, his stats are pretty good, in my opinion. 67, that 6 for 108 would not be good. 67 for 108 for 62%. Obviously, you'd still like that to be higher. 796 yards, 8 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns, and 0 turnovers. I'll answer this after I get through your next part here. It says a breakdown of all 44 of his drives since coming in against Wisconsin last year. 28 scoring drives, 23 touchdowns, 5 field goal attempts, 1 missed. 10 punts, 4 on downs. 2 are at the end of game or half. So that's 64% of his drives have ended with a chance at points, with the most being touchdowns. I'm going to be very honest with you as to the reason. Because the starting quarterback in Ann Arbor is almost never popular. And the fact that he's not asked to do too much right now. That, in a lot of people's eyes, means that he can't do it. So I think that's the big, big reason why I feel like people are just like whatever about him, because that's how that tends to go. Michigan fans tend to not, they tend to treat the starting quarterback very harshly. So yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I have to check on something. I'm gonna wait till the break. I'm hoping that this is recording on the microphone rather than the computer, because it's my waveform looks weird. Because obviously you might remember the episode from before where it was recording on the computer and it sounded all crazy and not on the microphone. So sometimes even after I said it, it's like, nah. All right, sorry, I digress completely. Also, just a quick observation on Rutgers' offensive line. They have allowed 4 sacks and 25 tackles for loss this year to Temple, Syracuse, and Delaware. Good chance Michigan defense gets to the feast all Saturday long. Well, certainly they're going to try to get rid of the ball really fast, but yeah, I think you're 100% right there. Spencer Whitmore, hate to say it, but looks like Penn State and Sparty are for real this year. Tough to not look ahead. But if we don't at least split those games, do you think Harbaugh officially loses the fan base? I think if you lose to Michigan State, particularly, certainly. If you lose to Michigan State and don't beat Ohio State, it'll be pretty hard to get the fan base back. But I think that there's a good chance that, we'll see, right? It's still early. Michigan State is in the same boat as Michigan. And I understand Miami was a sexy name. And preseason, I was like, there's no way Michigan State beats Miami. Miami's been bad. Michigan State's been significantly better. Penn State, we'll see what Wisconsin is, too. Like, that's the thing, is this great reset of a season. There's no, like, true elite teams that are out there at the moment that you can really point to. No one looks particularly elite. Anyone seems like they can win. It's not like the NFL, but any big program seems like it could probably beat any other big program any given week. And certain teams like Miami are now reeling. They're 1-2. Washington's 1-2. Tell me how they're different, except for Michigan State played them on the road. I mean, they might be about the same. Ryan at IM3LAC, a lot of defensive players are seeing game action. Who's your most surprising player on the defensive side of the ball, and who is primed to be the next breakout player? Since I kind of already answered that, I'll give you a different answer. The person that I'm most surprised by is RJ Moten, because I didn't expect that we would be seeing him basically at all, let alone him essentially starting. So, and I think he's done really well. I'd have to look at the Pro Football Focus grades to confirm that, because I'm pretty sure that I'm right that he's playing very well. Let's see, I'm at his snap counts right here. He's played 137 snaps so far. So that's pretty good. He's played pretty well. Washington wasn't his best. They had just shy of a 60 grade, but 64.5 against Western Michigan. Almost 80, 77.5 against Northern Illinois. See, things move very fast when you're looking through a long lens, but trying to figure out what everyone's doing. But I mean, I think he's done really well, and I'm kind of surprised by that. Right, his season grade so far is a 68, 79.1 tackling, run defense is 69.5. Not a 53.1 pass rush, but I haven't really seen him pass rush, and 67.6 coverage. Pretty good for a guy really just getting his first taste of college football. I mean, he played a little bit, but sparingly last year, right? So that's pretty big. Jacob Chavaria, Jacob17213950. What are your top three bucket list stadiums to visit? See, I've already visited a couple of them, essentially, because I've been to the Rose Bowl. Not for the Rose Bowl, but for UCLA and Oregon State some time ago. I've been to Beaver Stadium. I've been to the Shoe. I've been to Camp Randall. The only one that disappoints me kind of is Camp Randall. So we'll see if I like it more this time. Maybe it's just because Michigan's losing, and I'm like, you know, and then having to make that drive back, and everyone's sad and everything. Because I'm an empathic person, so I do feel very much. Maybe that's why I relate to you guys so much, even though, like, I don't care as much as I used to, of course, when I was a fan, but I certainly feel the fan base's energy. So that might be part of it. So I think the ones that would be left would be Death Valley. I guess really either one, LSU or Clemson, but probably LSU. I would really like to go to... I missed my opportunity when I lived in LA, but I'd really love to go to the Coliseum for a USC game. If USC, the caveat, USC has to be really good. And they haven't really been, I mean, they have to be mid 2000s good, in my opinion, for that to have that type of feeling. And then I want to go see Oklahoma at Oklahoma. So I'm waiting for that in a couple years. Oklahoma's probably the top on that one. I've also been to Notre Dame, and that was cool. Also, if Harbaugh doesn't finish at least 11-1, his blank is grass. Just my personal opinion. I want to be excited for football season. The past 5 years, I've dreaded it. I guess that's in your opinion, but no, I don't think that Harbaugh is going anywhere if he's not 11-1. I think that you'd have to have disaster from here on in for him to not be retained. I mean, it's essentially like a new coaching staff. So. I could understand why people would lose faith even more so. The holdouts, you know, you're being sold like, hey, this is going to be better, and it's still not quite there. I think you'd be all right if that one is not Ohio State. I think people would be a little bit more happy. But if he goes straight through, wins every game, loses to Ohio State, especially from what we've seen early in the season, I can understand the disappointment. But don't let the bearings of past years. I understand it. But try not to take on 20 years of, you know, anxiety and angst and put it all on 1 year. It's not fair to even to the kids that are playing. Mark Z at Mark Zimke. Where does Chris Jenkins stack up as the nicest person to be interviewed ever? Michigan's got a lot of guys like that. I mean, he certainly had a little bit more of a happy-go-lucky type, and all of us in the media absolutely loved him. But Michigan's got a lot of guys that are really nice, but maybe they aren't as happy-go-lucky. Like Chuck Filiaga, his whole thing is like, I'm so nice, you know, like I'm too nice. And that's why I had to learn how to play with that nasty streak. But just over the years, and I remember being down at the Citrus Bowl talking with some people inside the program, and they're like, we just have such like a team full of nice guys. And they meant it in a good way. It wasn't like, you know, in a bad way, but it was just like we have such great kids here. It's just so, everyone's just so great. So, you know, I think he's right up there. Finishing us out in segment 2, Chase Glasser via Instagram. As psyched as I am over the strong start, are we potentially setting ourselves up for September Heisman slash hype and November disappointment like 2009, 2010, 2012, and 13? When will we know if we're in the clear? Is it Wisconsin? You won't know if you're in the clear until the end of the year. Because here's the thing. I think the problem is Michigan could run the table, but if it loses that last game, you're going to be in the same emotional place that you were any given time. Conversely, if Michigan loses to Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Penn State, but beats Ohio State at the end of the season, you feel a lot better about it all. So, I think the thing about college sports in general, especially a team like Michigan in the position Michigan's been in for a long time, is it's something of a trust fall. And unfortunately, you just got to take it. You know, and if you don't just take it, then where's the enjoyment, right? If you're not enjoying what just happened the last three games because you don't want to be disappointed down the road, then what are you doing? Like, be excited. Just keep in your mind, like, all right, well, that, you know, just because we beat Washington doesn't mean we're going to beat Wisconsin. It's just because we maybe will beat Wisconsin doesn't mean we're going to beat Michigan State. Just because we maybe beat Michigan State doesn't mean that we beat Penn State, so on and so forth. You know, that's why they play all the games for the reason. You don't get through, you know, don't start 6-0 or 7-0 and then say, all right, you know what? Seen all we need to see. 12-0 to the playoffs. That's where you're going to go. So it's a little bit of a trust fall. And he said, feeling cautiously optimistic. I didn't see that part. Anyhow, all right, let's move on. Hey guys, so there's a few things in life that just aren't fun to talk about. One of them is excessive sweating. You know, when you're sweating through your shirts for no reason, it's embarrassing, right? Some of you may know I've personally dealt with this. When I speak in public, I can't help but sweat through my shirt. Now listen, I know this isn't life and death and there are much worse problems in the world, but let's be honest. In the moment, it feels like a big deal. Nobody likes to put out during an important speech, interview, or first date, God forbid. I'd much rather not worry about it, and that's why I use Sweatblock antiperspirant wipes. Sweatblock is stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply apply it at night before bedtime. Go to bed. The next morning, you wake up, wash, and go about your day without worrying about sweat. Guaranteed. I know this will sound too good to be true, but I literally have to use Sweatblock once or twice a week, and it keeps me dry the whole time. No more pitting out. No more picking my shirts based on which ones will hide sweat better. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON, or you can get it at Amazon or CVS. Also, you know what? We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on to start another football season. We're a quarter way through, but as always, betonline.ag is your number one spot for all of the pro and college football action this season. With a new and updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, betonline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to betonline.ag, sign up today, receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait. Take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the easiest and fastest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, let's finish it out. We've got 7 more by my quick count. It's not Go Blue. Whoops, backwards. It's Go Blue, not Big Blue, at Urban Lied. Do you think Urban Meyer regrets taking the coaching job at Jacksonville, and do you think he has respect for what Jim Harbaugh has accomplished in the NFL? I think, based off of what Vic Fangio said that Urban Meyer told him, which I don't remember exactly what it was, but like they had the conversation, and Fangio said, like, yeah, it's like you're playing five stars, a team full of five stars every single week. Yeah, I do think so. And I think that it was kind of, I didn't have a problem with it, but when he put out the, like, you know, stay patient Jaguars fans letter, I thought that that was a little desperate. He's clearly failing, and there's all kinds of reports of how things aren't working, and it certainly kind of feels like the not nice guy version of John Beilein not working out in the NBA type thing, you know? So, yeah, I think he probably, especially considering he just went and got beat by someone who coached under Jim Harbaugh, I think certainly he's probably got to be feeling that. Rob Anto at Rob Anto 1. First Love Monday's morning drip. Thanks, Rob. I appreciate that. Great message to the UM fans, who the majority seem unable to enjoy anything with this team. But I'm saying, man, just it you know, if they beat Wisconsin and it isn't pretty, there's going to be this, well, how are you going to beat Michigan State and Penn State and Ohio State this way? And it's going to be like just very nauseating and tiring. Like, celebrate wins when you can celebrate them. Team looks good now. Cool. Hopefully it still continues. Anyway, second, which group, position group, are you least confident in going into Big Ten play? Ooh, that one's hard. I don't know. Everything's kind of on even footing for me. I don't know. That's good. I know that normally I say I don't know to non-hypothetical questions, but nothing's glaring. Like, the pass offense was, or pass defense rather, was really good, and pass offense was, you know, better this last week. Everything's kind of humming right now. There's no glaring weaknesses right now for Michigan. So no, I don't know. Linebackers look good. Pass rush might not be getting home per se, but it looks good. Secondary looks good. Offensive line looks good. Running backs look good. Tight ends look good. Maybe not as much in the passing game, but they look good in blocking. Wide receivers look good. I guess wide receiver would be the answer. That would be it, because there's not a tried and true obvious Ronnie Bell on the team. So a wide receiver. By deduction, quarterback looks fine in my opinion. Wolverine Mean at WM Pod. Michigan and MSU are ranked number 19 and 20 respectively. Michigan is favored to beat Rutgers by 20, while MSU is favored to beat Nebraska by only 5. Besides the home field advantage, what do you think are the biggest reasons for the disparity in point spreads? Probably part of it is Nebraska taking Oklahoma kind of to the wire to some degree. Rutgers historically not being that good, and probably the brand name difference between Michigan and Michigan State. Probably it. If you want me to say, like, because I don't know if Nebraska and Rutgers even though Nebraska has been down near the bottom of my power rankings, Rutgers has been much higher. I don't know which one I would pick if they were to play each other, right? Nebraska's been playing people tough. They've been in every game. They've just lost two of them. They're 2-2. Things just seem, and to some degree, Nebraska beats itself. So I think that's probably it. Austin Cooper at AJ Coop 8. Hopefully I'm not too late, but does a Wisconsin win or loss affect next week's outcome, or has Paul Chryst done a good enough, does he have a good enough culture? My apologies for not being able to read. Got a bunch of lights shining in my face, which is new for the last couple of weeks. Does he have a good enough culture in place for them to bounce back from a loss and keep them from getting too high after a big win? I think a loss certainly would affect it, because they would be 2-2. And as much as you'd sit there and say, like, okay, our backs are against the wall, we need this game, they would have lost some confidence, right? You lose to Penn State, you lose to Notre Dame. Certainly a winnable game against Notre Dame. I think that would affect their confidence. They win, then they're like, all right, we're still, you know, Penn State was really good, but we're still really good, and we can just go and do our thing. You know, we're not going to lose another game the rest of the year. So that would be how I would see it. He does have a really good culture, but doesn't seem to have an offense right now. Scott C. Davis Jr. Should Michigan's leadership push for an expanded playoff as soon as possible? Harbaugh's teams would have likely hosted 2 playoff games already, which would likely alter the perception of his tenure. I don't think that they really can, right? It's commissioners, right? It's Greg Sankey versus the world right now. And he's pushing for expanded playoff, but probably because the idea is like, we go to 8 teams, we can have 8 SEC teams in. Probably not terribly off, but I'm sure they are pushing for an expanded playoff. Harbaugh's been pushing for a 16-team playoff. So, Enchanted Pants at Enchanted Pants. As Michigan's success continues, do you foresee other organizations or programs looting the staff after the season? Sharon Moore is OC or head coach. Weiss is OC. McDonald is NFL DC. In other words, is the culture strong enough to keep people here, or is Michigan not allowed to have nice things? I mean, that's the byproduct of winning, unfortunately, is you're going to lose some people. McDonald, I can't imagine, is going anywhere. He could have stayed in Baltimore and been a defensive coordinator sooner than later. So I don't think he's going anywhere. Probably the same with Matt Weiss. Sharon, I think that he's, I mean, he turned down Oklahoma to stay at Michigan, from what I heard. So getting a promotion, yeah, maybe that'll happen. But, you know, it's when you have nice things, yeah, you're going to lose some key pieces. I would imagine for the most part, the band will stay together another year. After that, anybody's guess. Finishing us out, Greg at Greg's Korean Barbecue. If Michigan keeps winning, Zinter has to keep the club, right? And you put a Michael Scott gif in there. I mean, if you're the superstitious type, yeah, but, you know, probably be better to have his hands. All right, that'll do it for us today. Thank you for listening and or watching. Thank you for your patience for this late episode. Just trying to get a little R&R before the week. And since next week's a travel week, getting it in wherever I can for the next 2 weeks of travel weeks. So anyway, that'll do it for us. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.